Oh man, where to begin with Pentecost Sunday? As I said, this is the birthday of the church. This is often considered one of the third highest holy day right after Christmas and Easter. And so where do you even begin, especially if you look at the book of Acts? I mean, we have this grand image and picture and story of the event of Pentecost, mystical. We could spend all day talking about that event and what took place and using the image of that story of these divided tongues of fire being placed on each individual. I mean, can you imagine if you were there and experiencing that? I think I myself would have to confess, I might be tempted to think the same thing. Are they drinking a little too much, right? It's a bit grand and mystical and amazing all in one in that story. But we're actually going to look at it, use a different image today, and that's the image of a home. And we'll get into that shortly. But first, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You're our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, get into the image of a home regarding Pentecost. We're going to look at just the first couple verses of our gospel reading, and that's verses 23 through 24 in John 14. It's right there in your bulletin, and I'll just read this for our memory. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So first, I'm going to ask this question, and this is for you to be able to answer, and go ahead and just shout it out, or raise your hand, or it could be chaos, or it could be silence. I don't know. What constitutes a physical home? Just think about this for a moment. And when I say home, and this could be just based off of people's experiences, right? Because some people live in apartments or homes or condos or townhomes or whatever else there is. There's probably huts, I don't know. But what constitutes a physical home?
A structure.
Four walls. Okay. So a structure, four walls. Okay. Anything else? Sorry? A place where you rest. A place where you sleep. A place to eat. Okay. Anything else? Okay. A place to go to the bathroom. That is a good one. I mean, those efficiency apartments are just above that, right? They got a bathroom in a room, like a small room, maybe. Are those bachelor pads? Efficiency. Sorry? Okay, so a place where your family fills the home, okay?
Place of safety.
Safety. Okay, a few more. Matt?
Fireplace.
Fireplace. You need a fireplace. I could just see Matt on one of those, like, renovation homes. This is not a home. Unless there's a fireplace. It's like, all right, anything else? A couple more.
Strong Wi-Fi.
Nowadays, you need Wi-Fi, right? You need it, just the way it is. It's a need now in our world today. All right, now consider purchasing a home. Okay, so you found some of those kind of structures. All right, say it's got four walls. And say it's got a roof. Hopefully it has four walls and a roof. That would be a problem, wouldn't it? But it has four walls and a roof. It has a fireplace, Matt. All right. It has those things. Now you're thinking about, all right, I want to fill this space with family, right? I want this space to be safe. I want this home to be safe. And it might be a home that you did not build. How do you make it your own? Okay. So that's another question. So some family could live in that home, right? Different from you, and you move in, right? How do you make that home that's a shell, perhaps, your home? You paint the walls, okay? First is maybe the ambiance or the aesthetic of the walls, okay? What's another thing you might do to make it your own? You clean it really well, assuming the people before you did not, which happens quite frequently, or there's a big time gap between it. All right, what else? You furnish it with the furniture that you like, with the mirrors you like. I don't know why my mind just jumped to mirrors. But furniture that you like, anything else you might like, any other? All right. Family pictures, you'd put your family pictures there, okay? What else might you do? What if you don't like a particular wall? What would you do? Right? You would change it. You might change it. Okay? You might be like, nah, I don't like that. I want this to be an open floor plan. Let's knock this down, hopefully safely with a head on. All right? What else? Is there anything else? Sorry? So kind of like the pictures, personal effects. Sorry? Chotskis. So I just see Matt, fireplace, big screen, flat screen TV, boom, you're good to go. If you got that, you're good. You know?
The recliner.
The recliner, yeah, right in front of the fireplace, right? Electric or electric or wood? Huh, he's not going to answer. All right. A housewarming party, okay? There might be a lot of different ways. You move into a home. A home is a home, but it's not really a home, right? It's not really your home until you make it your home, right? There could be a home over that concept of a home, but then in terms of it being your home, there's a lot that you would do or you might do or have to do in order to make it your home. So we're going to transition here. I want you to consider your very lives, okay? So individually and collectively as a community of followers of Jesus, okay? So everybody here, individually and all of us together, I want you to consider your very lives as homes for a moment, okay? I want you to think through this. It's your life, right? It's your life. It's your home. So just like a physical home, you make it as you wish, right? You're the one determining your life. You're the one determining the way you want your life to work out. The decisions that you make day in and day out are for your life and your life, the effect of your life surrounding you, right? You make it as you wish. You fill the rooms with stuff you want. I mean, we all do that, right? Fireplace, could be anything else. But just in terms of life beyond the idea of a home, you fill your rooms with stuff that you want. Maybe it's this idea that you have or I have or we have as a community or a group. We have it, we think, they have this idea of what would make it complete, okay? And maybe we have the sense in some ways that it's not complete without these things or whatever it is. Or we have this idea that if we it's incomplete and we haven't quite reached it, then we have this idea of what we need to work toward, what we need to get in order to achieve, to make it complete for us. We fill our lives, individually or collectively, with stuff that matters to us. It's what we do as humans. Or maybe we build additions. Maybe we're always changing our lives, right? Our homes and how we want to look. How we want things to look for our lives. Maybe we have this idea of what we want other people to see. Again, both individually or even collectively. So we do what we need to do in order to get that perception right. Okay? We envision our lives and do everything to achieve it. Okay? It's our house, right? Just going back to the physical home idea again, if somebody came in and it was your house, you made it your own. If somebody came in and was like, I don't like those pictures there, right? Wouldn't go so well, right? Because that was your home. It's your life, and that's your space, and that's how you envisioned it should be and how it would be. It's true for our life as well. Our very personal lives and our collective lives also. We put the work of achieving our home, our lives, in our hands. And the door, think about this, the door to our lives is only open to those that we wish it to be open to. Kind of similar to what I said, if somebody came in and they were like, I don't want the pictures there. What if somebody was like, I'm going to come in whenever I wish? Only people that you're really close to has that privilege, and probably in LA that's no one. Okay. I mean, I think of Fuller House, like where they ring the doorbell or they knock on the door, and what is the slogan? It's always open, right? It's always open. That's a sentiment that might not be so prevalent in a lot of different places and contexts. The door to your life, the door to your physical home, and the door to your life, or the door to the collective lives of people, of community, of followers, is only open to who we wish sometimes. And it's understandable, right? It makes complete sense. It's completely understandable to think that our lives, it's our home, and it is our own, and it's our work. Okay? Now, why was I bringing that to our attention and kind of working through this idea of the home? I want you to consider the work of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. What are some things that you've understood of the work of the Holy Spirit through the event of Pentecost and through the life of the church since that event? Open answers again. What have you understood to be the work of the Holy Spirit?
That it was able to reach anyone.
Okay, that was able to reach anyone, right? Okay, that was the idea of the event, that the tongue of fires came down, and they were speaking in different languages and different tongues, and people were understanding the message of Jesus in their own language, in their native tongue, okay? What else have you heard about the work of the Holy Spirit? I know this is like, it's called the shy person of the Trinity because, like, we believe that the Holy Spirit's always pointing to Jesus and not trying to pull attention to itself. But also, we don't always talk about it. We don't always talk about the Holy Spirit. But one is what we talked about in the beginning, what happens at baptism, right? The Holy Spirit comes, stirs the water through the Word, baptizes you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the work of His church, okay? And pours faith into you, claims you as a child, okay? That's one work that we talk about. The other is maybe at communion. Okay, what are some other events? Some fun words that Jesus, the Holy Spirit recreates. Have you ever heard that one? Recreates? Okay. Well, we're going to get into the Holy Spirit, but we're going to focus on this concept of the home and the idea that your life as an individual and the life of the collective people of God is a home. In reality, this is the truth of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. In reality, your home needs some work. It needs some work, but you don't necessarily see it. All of us, we don't always see it. Our lives need some work, and we don't always see it. Or if you do, we don't necessarily know where to begin. We don't necessarily know where to begin in the work that we see that needs to be done. We need help from outside of ourselves, whether we want it or not, or whether we realize it or know where to go, okay? Our home, in reality, needs some work. So the Holy Spirit, this is what's cool, the Holy Spirit comes like a guest. The Holy Spirit comes like a guest, and for all of us, when the Holy Spirit first comes, an uninvited guest. Okay? The uninvited guest. So you won't necessarily open the doors. You won't open the doors. You can't because you are opposed to uninvited guests. Okay? If you didn't want somebody to come in and they knocked on the door, what do? You hide behind the couch. No, I'm just kidding. There's a funny meme or something where it's like, back in the day, it's like you get all the food ready when the guest comes, whoever it is. But nowadays, if you hear the doorbell rings, you turn the lights off and you run to the room and you hide, right? You don't want any guests with the stress of life, okay? So the Holy Spirit is uninvited. You don't want to necessarily open the doors because the Holy Spirit is uninvited. But this uninvited guest, the Holy Spirit bids you to listen. Yet in order to do what's needed in love for you, breaks down those doors. Okay, that now sounds aggressive. But breaks down those doors, those thick doors that you or I have built with words of promise that your house would be fixed and made right. Only way for that uninvited guest to come in is to be able to break down those doors of our lives. On his own, with words of promise that he's going to accomplish far more than you could possibly imagine in your life. And that's going to be the work that he does. So to paraphrase C.S. Lewis, at first, you understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. When the Holy Spirit comes in and is starting the work to fix your house, your life, to make it right. You understand at first what the Holy Spirit is doing. Perhaps you had some of those things in mind. You knew you needed help, as we were mentioning earlier. He's getting the drains right. okay? He's getting the drains right and stopping the small leaks in the roof. You know those jobs need to be done in your life. So you aren't surprised, and you listen. You listen, and you let the Holy Spirit do its thing, okay? But then presently, all of a sudden in your life, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts knocking down the house. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts knocking down walls in a way that really bothers you, really bothers me, again, individually, or us as a community of people and all the things that we've built. Rooms are cleared out. And the stuff that you filled your life, you filled your home with that mattered to you might be removed. Might be removed. Might be additions you built in your life. The work you put in, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's ripping it down. You don't know what's going on. Maybe there's new additions you added. Maybe it's not a fireplace, Matt. You know, maybe it's not, right? Maybe some new floors are added. Maybe new walls. Think about what that might be in your life. Okay, I'm using the analogy of the home, okay? The physical structure of a home. But just think about your life. What might be those walls? What might be those floors, those additions knocked down, those additions added that the Holy Spirit's messing with right now? What's the Holy Spirit doing in your life in that regard? Because the only explanation for this, the only explanation is that the Holy Spirit is building an entirely different house from the one you thought up and built up, or working on or building up. Maybe instead of the nice, simple cottage you had and wanted, the Holy Spirit is building a palace because Christ himself intends to live there, to make it his home, to make your life individually, to make your life, the collective life of the church, the collective life of the community of believers, of followers of Jesus, that is Christ's home. And the Holy Spirit's making it his home. And he's making his people realize it's his home, to be able to live in that truth. And all the more you are realizing it, it is no longer your home. I mean, think about the battle in our lives, how much it is between our will and God's will, right? The real ever-increasing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to increase the realization that it has never really been truly our home. It's been Christ's home all along. It was never truly our home in the first place. The Holy Spirit's job was to be the power that broke down the doors. The Holy Spirit's job was to be the power that broke down the doors, to create faith, to create dependence on Christ Jesus and God himself. Essentially, to kind of do the prep work in your life for Christ's glory, to turn your life and to be a beacon of Christ's glory in your life, in the world, in your neighbors, and in this world. The Holy Spirit served to reveal Christ's truth to you, to teach you all that he taught, to teach you the words that he spoke, serve to reveal Christ's truth about your own life, your home, and to bring it to the reality that your life is Christ's. So we can speak confidently with Paul in Ephesians 1. This is verse 14. I'm going to reread this. For this reason, we bow our knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And then later he says, that it is no longer I that lives, but who lives in you? Remember that verse? It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The Holy Spirit gets to make that a reality in your life. And just because you were baptized when you're an infant or maybe a little bit older or whenever you were baptized, that work never stops because your baptism is every day reminding you whose you are and who you belong to and whose your life truly belongs, who the home really belongs to, and how he's always making it his home. The Holy Spirit will work in us for us to grow in this reality. It's always going to be what he does. And we'll want to fight it. We won't like it when he moves a picture. All right? He won't like it if he moves the TV. Right? Won't like it if he moves a rug. Right? We won't like it. And those are just small things, right? We won't always like it, and so we'll want to fight for it to be our home. Maybe we'll want to fight for it to be our life again. Can't it just be ours again? It was so much easier, right? It was so much easier when I got to determine everything. That we as a church, as we have a community of followers, as a people, got to determine everything, right? It's a democracy after all, right? We get to decide. But Christ's words, his very words to you, his words through Scripture, his word of life will be shared and shared and shared. And the Holy Spirit will bid you and bid you and bid you to listen. That Christ needs to do with his house what he needs to be done. I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, what an important work it is for you to do in our lives. Again, both personally, but also as followers of you as a community, Lord, that our home is not really our home, it's your home. Our lives are not our lives, but they belong to you. So Holy Spirit, we humbly ask that you continually teach us this lesson, that you day in and day out reveal Christ to us, that you continually make our lives Christ's home, where he is going to dwell, where he dwells already, where he's going to live out through our lives to share his light and his kingdom to those lives who we touch, who you touch in our daily activities, in our daily existence. So this day, especially this day on Pentecost, we thank you for the work that you do and always do. We thank you that we've needed you, that we need you each day to continually paint the picture of Jesus in our lives. And we leave here today celebrating that your work is not accomplished, that it's continually working, and that you are going to lead us to a heavenly home where there are many places prepared for us to dwell in the presence, untainted by any brokenness, by any sin. Amen.